Blog Talk Radio.
How about that? James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective. Nice to be with you. We are live. If it's Tuesday and 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, well, this must be a Conservative Perspective, and I have to be James Bostic. Wouldn't want it any other way, to be honest with you. Now, we do the live thing twice during the week. We do that on Tuesdays and Thursdays, both nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And we also have a recorded version of the program that we do for the Talk America Radio Network. And you can find those folks at talkamericaradio.org. And they have a couple of different streaming audio channels there. They have the Liberty and the Justice channel. And you can want to check them out. Outstanding hosts, outstanding programming. And little old ACP is proud and humbled to be a part of that. I've said it before, and I will undoubtedly say it many, 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 many more times. We live in interesting times indeed. Lots of stuff happening. As you know, we've been looking a lot, and we've been focusing a great deal on James Comey and Bob Mueller and the deep state's efforts to basically commit treason. And you know, that's been quite a rawhide for us to chew on, because that's a pretty complex, pretty convoluted, twisted, weedy kind of thing. And we're going to move on to some foreign policy stuff. And I don't want this to scare you, and it may. It should probably concern you, definitely alarm you, but don't let it frighten you or make you move into rash action. But Israel now has the documented proof of what many suspected all along, excuse me, about the disastrous nuclear deal that former President Barack Obama reached with the Iranian regime. Iran did not come clean on its nuclear program, Prime Minister Netanyahu charged, claiming that more than 100,000 Iranian documents that Israel's intelligence agents obtained from a secret atomic archive in Tehran prove the nuclear deal is indeed based on lies. This latest development should make President Trump to President Trump's decision to withdraw from the nuclear deal, a no-brainer. Netanyahu announced in a press conference that the trove of secret nuclear weapons files came from a hidden Iranian site where they were removed in 2017. He said the files contain materials which Israel has shared with the United States that include incriminating documents, incriminating charts, incriminating presentations, blueprints, photos, videos, and more. The U.S. has confirmed the authenticity of the documents. The Atomic Archive documents that they're talking about here reportedly reveal details about a hush-hush nuclear weapons plan known as Project Ahmad that began back in the early 1990s. It was supposedly shut down around 2003, but in actuality, the project work was carried on under different guises with the same Iranian scientists involved. The work's focused on what the prime minister said were five elements, and as described by the Times of Israel, these elements consisted of designing nuclear weapons, developing nuclear cores, building nuclear implosion systems, preparing nuclear tests, and integrating nuclear warheads on missiles. Now, since the flawed nuclear deal itself did not directly address Iran's ballistic missile research and development program the way it should have, Iran has basically felt free to work on perfecting that technology for nuclear warhead missile integration. What are they talking about? Well, the missile, obviously, that's the means by which the nuclear warhead is sent wherever it's going to be sent to be detonated. Okay, so that's the delivery system. And what they've been doing is they have increased the distances that their delivery systems can cover. In other words, they have longer range missiles now, because that wasn't a proviso in, you know, any kind of limitation or restrictions in terms of their missile technology. So now they have these very long range missiles that are ready when the time comes for them to place a nuclear warhead on that missile and point it at some target and fire it. So even after the deal, Prime Minister Netanyahu pointed out, Iran continued to preserve and expand its nuclear know-how for future use. The material presented by the Prime Minister demonstrated that Iran's nuclear program had been secretly stored intact for use at a time of its choosing, and it still poses an ever-present peril. Iran has played the International Atomic Energy Agency, the UN watchdog, which has repeatedly given Iran a clean bill of health for supposedly complying with its commitments under the nuclear deal. Now, this is absolutely true. And a conversation I had a year or so ago with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, we discussed just this thing. And it's they're in compliance with the agreement, the Iranians are. The problem is the agreement is so loose and so lenient and so easily manipulated that the Iranians can be in compliance with this deal and at the same time, as we see, press on with their nuclear warhead development and research. So, you know, this is not surprising, and it isn't surprising. Sure, they're going to give them a clean bill of health because what they're looking at are strictly the things within the agreement, the JCPOA, and that's it. And the Iranians are adhering to those agreements. They're towing the line on them, but they're also continuing their weapons technology development. 100,000 documents that all point the way, you know, a roadmap fundamentally, a diary of how Iran has continued its nuclear weapons development programs. Even after the Iran deal with Barack Obama, even after the sanctions, for all these things that President Obama said he was going to do and all the finger wagging and stern talking to's that the president gave, these guys just kept on trucking. So I can't imagine that they don't have a weapon. I simply can't imagine that they don't have one. And if you know, and it may be one or two. It just depends. But the moment, and of course we haven't seen any testing, but they could have bought a couple. But the moment we find out that Iran has successfully tested their own weapons, they're going to be all over the place in the Middle East. Okay, because the Saudis are going to go immediately to Pakistan with a suitcase full of money, and they're going to say, we'll take three, please. And the Saudi representatives will make arrangements, and they will have nuclear weapons sent to the Saudis. And the Saudis probably would use them on Iran if they felt threatened enough. And this is, and you know, a lot of us, we say, well, you know, this is news. How? Well, it's news in the fact that what we have suspected all along is true. Once again, there's just no, you know, we've got to go back to that word. We have got to go back to that word, treason. What else can you call it when you have people? And we've gone through the whole definition thing. Everybody knows what it is. And the definitions between the U.S. codes and what's in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it's all the same. We know what treason is. Now, are they doing it with guns? No, they're not doing it with guns. They haven't, you know, had an army or a faction of the army break off and march on the Capitol and place Congress and everyone under arrest. It hasn't been a military coup. But it's been an active coup to overthrow. They tried to rig the election, and then once having failed in doing that, then what they wanted to do was to unseat. They've actively worked to unseat a duly elected constitutional president. That's bad, people. That's very, very bad. And then you have these missile attacks Sunday in Syria, back to what's going on over here in the Middle East with Iran. Okay, there were, and again, this is in Syria. These missile attacks are in Syria. And they hit, the targets were two pro-Iranian command centers. One of them was a big weapons depot that had about 200 Iranian surface-to-surface missiles. They say missiles, I'm not sure exactly, but I would imagine rocket attacks is what they would be used for. These 200 Iranian missiles said to have been slated for transport to Hezbollah. 18 Iranians were killed at this particular base. And while Israel hasn't claimed responsibility, no one else has either, and it could be. The strategic thinking is, or the tactical thinking is rather, that Israel could be trying to provoke Hezbollah to attack from the north, or maybe a direct attack by Iran itself. there's been a lot of heavy Israeli military traffic moving to the north part of the country. And Israel recently announced that its northern airspace will be closed to civilian flights until the end of May. So they're expecting something to shake loose within the next couple of weeks. Israeli defense officials have told their American and Russian counterparts that if Iranian-backed forces attack Israel from within Syria, Jerusalem will not hold back from retaliating with direct strikes against Tehran or other targets in Iran. And, of course, their nuclear facilities are probably way up high on that target list. Think about that for just a second. Iran proxy government of Syria, or Syria rather, a proxy government of Iran, is being used by Iran for attacks on Israel that are either Iran sponsored or carried out by Iranians. And in response to this, and you know how the Israelis can be when they get mad, boom, it's on. And, you know, with the cruise missile attacks on the chemical weapons manufacturing facilities a few weeks back in Syria, no United States missile missed its target. Not one. Now, I know they say they did, and they shot down so many, but they didn't. Now, this is bad, and here's why this is bad. Because all over Syria are a bunch of Russian radar and interceptor missile sites that were sold to Syria by the Russians to keep something like this from happening, and they didn't work. More than likely, a combination of the guys working the equipment as well as the equipment itself. They may not be the best trained, and I'm sure that it's not the best. But anyway, Syria spent a fortune on this crap, and it doesn't work. This makes Russia look bad. So maybe they throw in some more stuff. Maybe they throw in some of the upper-grade stuff now, if they're interested in keeping Syria as a sphere of its influence. But this statement is bold. Jerusalem will not hold back from retaliating with direct strikes against Tehran or other targets in Iran. All of this right now, obviously, is in the hands of the mullahs and the Ayatollah. It's a pretty safe bet, though. Israeli defense forces, the Israeli Air Force, military and intelligence personnel all throughout Israel are ready to go. All they're waiting for is the word, and they're watching to see how the mullahs are going to respond. Yeah, it is kind of provocative, I guess, in a way, and it is kind of challenging Iran to do something, or its proxy, Syria, to do something. And it may be one of two things, that there is some kind of an attack, that there is some kind of rocket attack, because these guys, the only thing they understand is force. And so given the restraint with which Israel acts and then the force and the violence with which it reacts, one of two things is going to happen. These guys are dense. They're going to think they can do it. They're going to think that Allah really is on their side. And they're going to launch some kind of attack. And 9 times out of 10, you can bet that the Israeli military and intelligence forces are going to be ready for it. They may not know exactly where it's coming from, but then again, they may know exactly where it's going to be. They may be able to thwart it in time. But if not, then Iran will feel the sting of Israeli Air Force hardware. There's no question about that, and they will. What should we do about it? Well, I don't know that we should do anything about it. Maybe coordinate with Israel, see about making sure that we've got tankers in the area. If these fellas run into problems and they're low on fuel getting back home, we might want to do something like that. We might want to help participate in air search, you know, air sea rescue if something happens and some of these Israeli fighters have got a parachute and they land in the ocean. We might be able to help with that. We might be able to help them with, you know, any tactical or logistical needs that they have, coordinating communications. There are a lot of things we could do to pave the way for the Israelis to do what they do best, and that is kick butt and chew bubble gum, and they are all out of bubble gum, y'all. So you better be watching. And that's what we're going to find out here within the next couple of weeks. Like I say, you know, we live indeed in interesting times. Let's see what else we got here. I did have back to the whole Comey Mueller thing. I came across this on the internet. It's pretty interesting. A lot of silliness in it, but I'm going to try and keep away from that. But I'm just going to bring this down to the facts. And we have worked hard here at ACP, and you know, that's just my commitment to you cats. I really spend a lot of time reading up on the things that are happening here in the United States, like with the, you know, the whole collusion scam with the players with the bigger picture, which is, you know, this is an attempt to overthrow the government of the United States, the established government of the United States. Now, what do you call that, guys? Yeah. Yeah. You call it treason. I don't know what else you can call it. I've got a bunch of names here, and I'm just going to read this thing to you, and then I think we're going to go to the break. And like I said, there's a lot of silliness in it, and I'm going to try and eliminate it. I've read it a couple of times trying to get it out. Here's what happened. From 2001 to 2005, there was an ongoing investigation into the Clinton Foundation. A grand jury had been impaneled. Governments from around the world had donated to the charity. Yet from 2001 to 2003, none of those donations to the Clinton Foundation were declared. Now, in 2002, the investigation was taken over. By James Comey. And about that same time, guess who was transferred in to the Internal Revenue Service to run their tax exemption branch of the IRS? Well, that would have been Lois Lerner. Now, from 2001 to 2005, guess who ran the tax division inside the Department of Justice? Rod Rosenstein. And the director of the FBI at that time, Robert Mueller. Every single one of these people were either briefed about, okay, Mueller, Lois Lerner, James Comey, Rod Rosenstein, were either briefed about or were frontline investigators in the Clinton Foundation investigation back from 01 to 05. Now, let's go forward, 2009. Comey leaves the Justice Department to go and cash in at Lockheed Martin. Hillary Clinton's running the State Department on her own personal email server. The Uranium One issue comes up about, and we've talked about that. And what that was basically was a pay-to-play scam involving the Secretary of State and turning over 20% of our uranium reserves first to Uranium One, a Canadian-held company owned by a man named Frank Giustra, who later sold the company to a larger concern known as Rosatom. And that's like the giant Russian atomic energy conglomeration. Yes. Yes. First, Hillary Clinton sold 20% of our uranium reserves to a Canadian mining company, who then in turn sold it to the Russians. Hillary Clinton signed off on this deal. Bill Clinton goes over and makes one of his rubber chicken Marriott speeches. We're going to build that bridge to the 21st century. He goes over to Russia and he does this. They pay him $150,000 through some oligarchic bank that's connected to Vladimir Putin. And then there's about $500,000 donation to the Clinton Foundation, Clinton Global Initiative, from various Russian oligarchs, whatever you want to call them. Wheels. Anyway, where was I? So these same people who knew about Uranium One, who knew about how Hillary Clinton rubber stamped the whole deal, who knew where the money was going, they're the same people who have the hammers and the cudgels out for Donald Trump. James Comey, Bob Mueller, Rod Rosenstein, Loretta Lynch pretty much out of the picture. Same thing with who was the other chick, the IRS? Lois Lerner. But you still have some pretty powerful people in the game. James Comey and Andrew McCabe will destroy one another. We're going to be able to watch that play out on TV within the next couple of weeks. It's and we talked about this on the Thursday program. On one side, you got Jim Comey. I talked about it on Sunday show, too. You've got Jim Comey, book tours, TV interviews. He's made money. I mean, it was a multi-million-dollar contract for the book. Now, is the book selling? No. Are they going to tell you that? Absolutely not. This is the greatest story on earth. And this is supposed to be the giant tell-all of tell-alls. But then they get James Comey on television. He doesn't know anything. He can't remember anything. Andrew McCabe has been disgraced. Fired. No pension. No retirement. All that was forfeited because he was fired for lying under oath. An FBI agent, deputy director of the FBI, dismissed, lying under oath. That's huge. He leaked information, and in order to cover up his leaking the information, blamed others for the leak, knowing that he himself was the one responsible for it. Then he got caught lying about it, and that's where they're at. So the Justice Department, upon recommendation of the Office of the Inspector General and the FBI's own internal investigative arm, he's got to go. Bam, he went. No pension, no nothing. Disgrace, shame, dishonor. James Comey. Money, 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 money. Fame, notoriety. I'm sure that by now, even though they had a close friendship, or it's alleged that they did, McCabe hates this guy's guts. He threw McCabe under the bus. He denied knowing what McCabe did. And McCabe's mad because he knows that Comey has ended up to his neck just like McCabe was. He's just as dirty as everybody else, but he's out there being treated like the conquering hero. And Andy McCabe is working off a GoFundMe site. You think McCabe doesn't have things to say? Plus, he's got two criminal referrals against him. One, which was there were a number of referrals made, one against Hillary Clinton, one against Loretta Lynch, one against Rod Rosenstein, Christopher Wray, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, and then a separate one from the Office of the Inspector General, two criminal referrals on Andy McCabe. Andy McCabe knows where bodies are buried, so to speak. He may actually know where real bodies are truly buried. But he knows things. Things that would command the attention of certain people. And it doesn't look like anybody's going to help him. Doesn't look like he's getting any money for his legal fees. It looks like all the other conspirators are going to leave him out in the wind to twist, and they're going to say to themselves, well, that's what happens. You know, you take your chances and you win or lose. They're going to say McCabe lost. But he's going to talk. Peter Strzok, he's going to talk. Lisa Page, she's going to talk. Bruce and Nellie Orr, they are going to talk. And who knows how many other lower level actors in this theater of corruption and treason are going to be out there and going to be talked about. Because McCabe knows stuff, and these guys, they were involved, and they're going to share what they know because they don't want to go to jail at all. And they'll talk. Down to the bottom of the hour. Let's see what we got going on here. Scanning through the music like I always do. Sometimes, ordinarily I like to try and have this stuff already set up and have it in my mind what's going to be playing, but doesn't always work that way. So ACP will be back with more scintillating political commentary right after this really hip musical break.
life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June, I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
That's life. And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking, come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die. My.
Let your hair down, Frank. Okay, ACP, James Bostic here with you. Good to be back. Of course, that's conservative's perspective. We look around us and we see a world literally fraught with peril. You know, it's a rough place. The world's a rough place. And there are no shortage of bad people who, for whatever their reasons may be, want to do you harm. They want to steal from you. They want to break your stuff. They want to hurt you. They want to take your life. They want to lord it over you. They want to push you around. But you know what? The world's always kind of been like that, hasn't it, really? Always, you know? So we can't get too excited about the fact that, you know, the world's a bad place. We know that. And we also know, if we're intellectually honest, that there are a lot of bad people in the world. Why are they bad? I don't know. And I really don't dwell too much on that because we may never know why they are bad. The thing is, however, that they are bad. I don't know why they're bad. I don't know what drove them to it. Maybe nothing drove them to it. Maybe they were just born bad. Maybe, you know, that's all there is to it. But it doesn't matter. And the thing is that we know, so we know that there are bad people. Because the world's a bad place. And I know this kind of sounds cynical and kind of pessimistic, but bear with me. and being possessed of intellectual honesty, we know that there are bad people. And if we're equally intellectually honest, we also know that it doesn't really matter why. They just are. And we're not going to change them. We probably can't rehabilitate them. The best thing we can hope for is that we get a hold of them, you know, before they've done something really bad. 9 times out of 10, you know, they've done something really bad. That's how we find out about them. But we have to take great care, is what I guess I'm trying to get at. We have to take great care to make sure that we protect ourselves, that we do everything we can to protect ourselves from the bad people, from the bad actors. Well, what's he talking about? Well, I think you know what I'm talking about. You know what bad people are. You guys aren't stupid. People that listen to stuff like this and check out Mark Hoffman and Limbaugh and Hannity and all the other big names, everybody else, you guys are a cut above the rest. And I'm not saying that to condescend or patronize. You're not. You're smarter people. You're not watching Fox. Even Fox. Yeah, there, I said it. You're not watching Fox News. You're not watching ABC, NBC. You're not watching the alphabet soup. You're doing your own research. You're looking into the things that resonate with you, and you're finding out the truth about them, and it's in. And you're educating yourselves. So, yeah, that puts you guys a couple of cuts above the rest of the herd. That's all there is to it. It's not being arrogant. It's not being cocky. It's just the truth. And you should take pride in it. You're smart people. You're discerning people. Therefore, I know when I say to you that there are bad people out there and that it doesn't matter why they're bad. The fact is they're bad, and we must gird our loins and protect ourselves against them. You understand what I mean. But it's kind of complicated. Because there are other people out there. There are other people out there who look at the bad people and the bad things they do. And for some reason, again, we may never ascertain the reasons why, but that does not preclude us from accepting the facts as they exist, whatever they may be. These people look at the people who do bad things and work in many ways to protect them. How do you mean protect them? Well, look at the people in the social service field. Look at the people in the mental health industry. Oh man, he's not really bad. He's just misunderstood. And we've got to look at these things that happened to him. And we have to take all these other factors into account, because that's where we're going to get the explanation as to why he killed those 17 people. He's not a bad guy. He just didn't understand. No, you don't understand. If you killed 17 people, you're a bad guy. And you're the kind of guy that ought not be allowed to run about amongst polite society. So we got to lock you up, Hoss. Or, better yet, there's another way to make sure that dude doesn't get out and kill 17 more people. And you know what I'm talking about. The consequence, the punishment that dare not speak its name. Yeah. I used to be kind of finicky about that kind of stuff. But over time, I changed. I'm not exactly sure who said it. They attribute it. They give credit to Winston Churchill for saying it. But the saying goes like this. Whoever said it was a pretty sharp cat. If you are conservative when you are young, you have no heart. However, if you are a liberal when you are old, you have no brain. And I think that's really kind of true. In my own walk, pilgrimage, whatever you want to call it, away from that, I'd like to buy the world a Coke and teach it how to sing mentality. Yeah. And I do think that holds true. So, you know, some people are kind of picky. They're kind of squeamish when it comes to the lethal injection or the gas chamber or the chair or where was I? I'm trying to think, maybe South Dakota. Gary Gilmore was the guy's name, and he was a thug. He was a three-time loser, and he had gone up, I think, on a murder rap. Anyway, his method of execution was by firing squad. There you go. And they talk all this mess. And another thing that gets me, and I know it gets you guys too, and nobody ever talks about it because I guess we're supposed to take the high road or something, but they always talk about how barbaric and how primitive and subhuman the various modes of execution that we have available here in the United States. They talk about how terrible they are. Does anyone know what John Wayne Gacy did? Does anyone know what Jeffrey Dahmer did? Yeah. Pretty brutal. Pretty horrible. And when you think about the heinousness of those crimes, and those are just high-profile things, there's much more awful, gruesome, graphic, terrible murders that are committed by random pieces of flotsam and jetsam throughout this country that are no less disgusting and heartbreaking and horrifying. And I guarantee you, whether it was with a rope, whether it's with a chair, with a gas chamber, with lethal injection, or with a firing squad, every single one of those methods is far cleaner and much more humane than anything that these murderers, these miscreants, would have considered as humane. So that's it. And again, you know, it's hard to argue with these people because they see nothing other than their own, I don't know what you want to say, cultural, moral superiority. That there's got to be a better way, and if there are no consequences, then what's to stop the bad people? They kill, they rape, they murder. Yeah, they go to jail for a little while, and then they get back out. And they do it again and again and again. Well, we can't put everybody in jail forever, can we? No, we can't. We've got to work on some mode of rehabilitation. And again, I'm totally lost as to what that would be. Don't have any clue. But at the same time, we cannot allow these barbarians, these subhumans, out on the street to prey upon honest, decent, hard-working, God-fearing men and women, people that just want to go home at the end of the day, kiss their wife, hug their kids, pat their dog on the head, have a nice dinner, and then the family plays board games. Okay, these people are an assault on everything that is good about this country. That's what I'm trying to say. And yeah, that's kind of stereotyped, but what's wrong with it? It's a good stereotype. It's a positive stereotype. I didn't say it was a black family or a white family. I just said a hardworking, God-fearing family. And we know that there are at least 63 million examples of those because those are the households that voted for Donald Trump for president. They didn't vote for the Republican Party. They didn't vote for John McCain. They cut out some of John McCain's brain And he's still running around Washington like he's renting the place. So anyway, you know who the bad people are. We all do. They're not black. They're not white. They're not illegal aliens, all of them. But they are black, and they are white, and some of them are illegal aliens. They're bad people. The color doesn't make any difference. Where they came from doesn't make any difference. How they got here, yeah, that might make a little bit of difference in terms of whether or not we got to make sure that they don't ever come back. But none of those things make any difference. What matters is that we recognize the bad people wherever they are and whatever they're doing in their many guises and shapes and colors. We got to recognize them. We got to watch them. And we have to be prepared to counter what they do. In many cases, ideally, we'd be better off preempting them from what they do because we know who they are. How do we know who they are? Well, they've been doing what they're doing for a long time. They did it in Mexico, then they come over here and do it. They get sent back to Mexico. Well, they're back in a couple of weeks doing it again in another town. We can't let that happen. We got to stop that. And the only people who can stop it are us, me, you. It's all that stands in between this country and a barren wasteland. Seriously. I mean, I know it sounds dramatic and blah, 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 yakety smackety. I get all that, but it's the truth. It really is. And we have to, and now we need to be more aware of that now than ever before. And like our long lost MIA buddy, Scott Kesterson, the mouth of the South would say, this all starts on a local level, the tactical mindset, the serenity prayer, okay? Grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's all the tactical mindset is. Whenever you hear that term, what they're talking about, look at the things in your immediate vicinity that you can affect positively, that you can change. That's what that means. Go to your Board of Education meetings. Go to your county commission meetings, your city council meetings. Check out your mayor. Check out your superintendent of schools. Look who's on the Board of Education. Especially if you've got kids, pay attention to what the hell's happening on the Board of Education. Lottie, Miss Claudie, some of the things I see and I read about that's taking place in school systems throughout this country, it horrifies me. It slap up horrifies me. Well, I got totally off course there at the end of the break, but you know it happens sometimes like that, and it still might turn out to be basically pretty decent radio. We're down to the end of the line. I'm about out of gas. We're going to knock off a little bit early tonight. You guys have been working hard, and quite frankly, you need a break from all this. I know I do. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say good night and God bless. I'm going to remind you that ACP is heard here live on blogtalkradio.com through the Patriot Nation Radio Studios. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We also have the recorded version of the show that is heard on the Talk America Radio Network, and you can find them at talkamericaradio.org. Outstanding programming, outstanding hosts. ACP is proud and humbled to be moving among them. And you can check out their two audio streaming channels. They have the Liberty Stream and the Justice Stream. ACP is heard at various places and various times throughout the week on either one of those, as with all the other great programming. We will be back, Lord willing, and the river don't rise, this Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, with another installment of Conservative's Perspective. followed up immediately at 8 o'clock by Mark Hoffman, our wingman, our buddy, the visionary behind the Patriot Nation Radio Network and the Patriot Nation Radio Live program that is back-to-back with ACP on Thursdays, 8 p.m. So you won't want to miss that. Thanks for the opportunity to hang out with you. It's been really cool sharing some stuff that's been on my mind. Hope you enjoyed it. We will be back this Thursday taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. Till then, God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States. You guys take care. We'll see you then.